The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Welcome to Prognosis. I'm Francesca Levy. Laura Carlson is out. It's day 99 since coronavirus was declared a global pandemic. Our main story? Viruses like SARS-CoV-2, the one that causes COVID-19, can't be treated by antibiotics. Even so, doctors have used antibiotics on many COVID patients. And that has scary implications for a whole other health crisis. Superbugs. But first, here's what happened in virus news today. In Florida, COVID-19 cases soared to their highest weekly level yesterday. Governor Ron DeSantis says the jump in numbers is partly an illusion caused by the state ramping up testing. And he says isolated outbreaks in prisons, long-term care facilities, and agriculture communities may be skewing the numbers higher. But a Bloomberg News analysis of publicly available data suggests those factors aren't the cause. The percentage of tests coming back positive has jumped, undermining the idea that more testing is to blame. And as for prisons, care facilities, and agriculture workers, cases are up dramatically even when you exclude those communities. In fact, without those examples, the rate of increase would be even more dramatic. In Beijing, a coronavirus outbreak that infected more than 150 people has been contained, according to Chinese disease experts. The Chinese Center for Disease Control and Prevention said more cases will be confirmed in the coming days, but that should only reflect people who are already infected. And finally, American football fans who had been hoping for good news were disappointed today. Anthony Fauci, the country's top infectious disease expert, said the 2020 National Football League and college football seasons may have to be canceled if there is a second wave of the virus. The NFL season is scheduled to start September 10th. Fauci said players would have to be in a bubble, isolated and tested daily for him to imagine how the game could be played this fall. And now for today's main story. Long before the COVID pandemic, another global health disaster was brewing, threatening to kill millions of people annually. Superbugs, germs even our most potent antibiotics can't defeat, pose a massive challenge to human health and well-being. The coronavirus, of course, isn't stopped by antibiotics which target bacteria. Even so, antibiotics have been used liberally for COVID-19 patients. Bloomberg senior editor Jason Gale reports that could worsen the superbug crisis.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
In the first months of the pandemic, studies from China showed that almost all hospitalized COVID-19 patients were being administered a cocktail of medicines, including antibiotics. It's not that surprising. Studies of the 1918 Spanish influenza pandemic show that the vast majority of deaths were actually caused by a secondary bacterial infection. The flu virus landed the first blow, but bacteria delivered the knockout punch. So doctors caring for COVID patients have wanted to prevent them suffering the same fate.
I think it's safe to say that many patients with COVID receive antibiotics, especially the ones that are hospitalized. And I think part of that is that the picture of COVID can look similar to community-acquired pneumonia.
This is Dr. Anu Malani. He's an infectious diseases physician, a medical director for the Infection Prevention and Antimicrobial Stewardship Programs at St. Joseph's Mercy Health System in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Researchers in London analysed more than 1,000 coronavirus studies, and they found that 72% of COVID-19 patients received antibiotics in the hospital.
I think many patients are getting treated for pneumonia or were being treated for pneumonia.
But further research has shown that bacteria aren't a major threat. Fewer than 8% of COVID patients have a bacterial co-infection, two studies published in the past month have shown. Another found that using antibiotics to prevent infections in COVID patients has no benefit. That fits with the World Health Organization's guidance for managing these cases. The agency recommends against using antibiotics unless a patient is suspected of having a bacterial infection. But one antibiotic was popularized, at least for a while, when political leaders touted combinations of the malaria drugs, chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine, with the antibiotic azithromycin.
And so early on in the outbreak, at least in the United States, there was quite a high degree of use of hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin, without a lot of scientific evidence to support the use. But I think, with COVID, because so many patients are quite ill, providers, there's a tendency to try to want to do something.
The WHO says COVID has bolstered the use of antibiotics. Hospitals naturally have a lot of sick people with infections or receiving treatments like intravenous infusions, catheters, and ventilators that put patients at risk of an infection. So antibiotics are commonly administered. But when these medicines are overused, it gives rise to the emergence and transmission of multi-drug-resistant bacteria. And infections with these superbugs are more difficult and costly to treat, and they're more likely to lead to prolonged illness and death. Anu says it's important that healthcare workers prevent spreading infections through careful hand hygiene and sterilization practices, and that they use antibiotics only when they're needed.
And I think we want to make sure we don't take any steps backwards with respect to antimicrobial stewardship.
Prudent management of these precious miracle cures has come under serious threat because of COVID-19, according to Maren McKenna. She's an Atlanta-based science journalist who has written books about antibiotic resistance. Some tests needed to determine whether a COVID patient has a bacterial infection might not get done because collecting specimens from patients' lower respiratory tracts puts health workers at increased risk of catching the coronavirus. Maren says in those cases, antibiotics might be administered as a precaution.
And many more people being treated prospectively against the fear that they're going to develop bacterial infections, those things kind of fly in the face of stewardship. You've just violated a couple of the precepts of stewardship, which is you might not have exactly the right drug for the organism because you don't know what the organism is. And you're not sure you're going to be using it for the right amount of time because COVID makes people sicker for so much longer. So this whole effort to try to suppress antibiotic resistance around the world by making sure we use antibiotics as conservatively as possible is that particular effort is under threat because of the conditions created by COVID.
Worldwide, at least 700,000 people die annually from drug-resistant infections. That number will balloon to 10 million deaths a year by 2050 and will cost more than $100 trillion in lost economic output without corrective actions. That's according to research for the UK government by former Goldman Sachs economist Jim O'Neill 4 years ago. He recommended spending $42 billion over 10 years to boost the supply of new medicines, vaccines and diagnostic tools, and introduce mechanisms to reduce the demand for antibiotics. Yet, few governments have been willing to make the necessary investment needed to mitigate the global antimicrobial resistance crisis. Maren says COVID hasn't lessened the likelihood of those grim predictions.
You know, one of the things that makes antibiotic resistance so challenging is that as the bugs get worse and worse, we don't have the drugs to combat them to take the next jump in that game of leapfrog between bug and drug because making antibiotics has become so profoundly unsatisfying for pharmaceutical manufacturers. that is also not going to change in the setting of COVID, right? Because manufacturers, or let's say drug developers, discoverers and developers all over the world are now turning to looking for antivirals.
Marin says antibiotic developers have told her they're going through their drug libraries looking for potential antivirals instead of antibiotics, because that's what's needed now.
So between the economic disincentives to develop antibiotics right now and the potential incentives to spend your time looking for antivirals instead, we're just going to be further behind in that bug-drug game of leapfrog. We're not going to get new drugs any faster.
The pandemic has, however, sent a stark warning to world leaders and policymakers that global threats to human health are devastatingly costly. No person and no country is immune. Investing in ways to prevent and mitigate infectious risks isn't just smart, it's a necessity.
That was Jason Gale in Melbourne. And that's our show today. For coverage of the outbreak from 120 bureaus around the world, visit Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. And if you like the show, please leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's the best way to help more listeners find our global reporting. The Prognosis Daily Edition is produced by Topher Forges, Jordan Gaspore, Magnus Henriksen, and Laura Carlson. Today's main story was reported by Jason Gale. Original music by Leo Sidran. Our editors are Rick Schein and me, Francesca Levy. Bloomberg's head of podcasts is also me.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.